Score North Live. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill, taking you up until 2 o'clock here on Score North in the all-new Score North app, available on Apple and Android devices. Joined now by John Krasinski of The Athletic. John, how are you doing today?
Doing good, fellas. How's it going?
Doing really well. Glad to be back in Minnesota after a couple fun nights in Vegas, to say the least. But you were out there, too. I know you enjoyed yourself. What were your main takeaways from the Summer Wolves, which took them 7 games to lose their first game in the Gerson Rosas era?
Yeah, they look unbeatable right now, pretty much. Unless they run up against Tyus Jones and the Grizzlies, everything should be smooth sailing this next year. So, you always wonder what to take away from these things. I typically try not to read a whole lot into individual performances, good or bad, but I do think when you're kind of trying to put your finger on what this team is going to look like from a stylistic standpoint with an almost entirely new coaching staff, you can kind of take some things away from what we saw in Vegas, from how they played. I mean, you look at that team almost cut out the mid-range game entirely from its arsenal offensively, did a lot of switching and a lot of kind of high-energy effort on defense. And so you can, I think they'll have some challenges in incorporating those styles with the existing players that they have on their roster, but you at least see philosophically where they're headed and what they eventually want to be, whether that, whether we see that in fruition in November or in next March or even a year from now. I think that was the thing where you can at least put your finger on and say, okay, now I at least have an idea of how they want to play. And so that was instructive.
Johnny, what is this new playing style going to do for Andrew Wiggins? I mean, we know about the contract and where he's at this stage of his career, now 5 years in. But what is this playing style and system change going to do for him? Because we know the problem with him has been a lot of the long twos, the 19-foot jumpers that he's not very efficient at, even though that's the shot he seems to take the most. But what is this new change, this new style of play going to do for him, and how will it benefit him?
Well, Manny, certainly when I'm talking about challenges implementing this new style, I mean, Andrew Wiggins will probably be at the top of the list. Yeah. They're going to have to sort of phase out a lot of the approach that Wiggins has had over the last couple of years. And so if he can embrace it, if he can kind of understand exactly why they're going about it this way and how much more beneficial it can be if he stops taking the 20-footers and steps out to 23 feet, if he gets more open looks from the ball movement that we saw a lot in Vegas and less contested forced jumpers, I think those things can be helpful to him. And one other thing that they've talked about with Wiggins a lot is they want to get out in transition and get him some easy baskets that way. That's something that Andrew hasn't really done well. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that's sprinting the floor in transition opportunities and running the lane and getting lobs and dunks that way. So he's going to have to make some adjustments to the way that he plays. And I think with Ryan Saunders having a long-term contract now, or a 3-year deal as opposed to being an interim, with Gerson Rosas really making it clear what kind of system that they want to play and what's going to be expected of people, I think it's fair to say that if Andrew Wiggins doesn't adapt or acclimate to what they're doing, then you have at least more of a hammer to sit him down, to not play him as much if it doesn't work. So far, by all accounts, Andrew's very open to this change. He wants to be more featured in the offense, and if that all goes well, I mean, it could help him. I mean, this is kind of an easy way to play. This is the modern way to play, and if he can kind of improve from a three-point shooting perspective and from a ball-handling perspective enough, it could be a big help for him.
I do think that Andrew is probably the most important test case that we'll have with the Wolves and their new player development system and staff there. But I think that the more interesting one might be Naz Reid, because they're getting in with him on the ground floor. What did you think of his performance in Vegas?
Yeah, it was impressive. I mean, you know, you always you take things with a grain of salt individually, both good and bad. But when he played against more established players, like he did against Jared Allen from Brooklyn, he played well, and he stood up to it. He's a really, I mean, he's a mountain. The dude is just huge. He has great feet. He shoots the three-pointer free and easy. I mean, there's a lot of Karl Anthony Towns in terms of his shot mechanics and just how easy it looks when he takes those shots. I think Towns is a better shooter than him, but certainly he has the capabilities to be a high 30% three-point shooter, and that's going to help things. I think, you know, he has to get in shape. He had a foot injury that slowed him down a little bit, so he's going to have to get in shape. He's going to have to be a better rebounder, certainly a better system defender. But like you said, Danny, I think they can put him in Iowa. They can use that two-way contract, and they can have him play a lot. And he looks like a player who eventually could be a replacement for Gorgui Dieng down the road, a year, 2 years down the road, as sort of a backup to Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, it's very early. The sample size is small, but you just saw a lot of physical tools and natural ability that should be able to translate to the NBA with some seasoning.
Johnny, what's a reasonable expectation for Jared Culver as a rookie? I mean, we didn't get to see him in summer league, obviously, for a lot of different reasons, you know, because of the NBA's wonderful calendar set up. But what is a reasonable expectation for what type of player or how he'll be used as a rookie this season? And when you have, you know, you have Josh Okogie sort of playing that same position, Andrew Wiggins obviously is playing a similar position. What's a reasonable expectation for Jared Culver and how he'll be used this year?
Yeah, he's kind of like the forgotten man right now when you look at him, just because of the circumstances. I mean, he got, you know, acquired on draft night in trade, but they weren't able to announce it for, you know, more than a week after the deal went down. So, and then he wasn't able to play in summer league because of that as well. And so I think that some Wolves fans who look at the Timberwolves offseason to this point, you see Noah Vonleh and Jake Layman and Jordan Bell and those kinds of more underwhelming acquisitions, you say, man, they missed out on D'Angelo Russell. And, you know, what's to get excited about? Why, you know, there's what's going to be really any different next year when they just added some role players? Well, people have forgotten that they added the number 6 pick in the draft, and someone who some draft experts believe could be the second best player in this class. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he's phased in, but they clearly have a need for ball handlers and for initiators on offense. Wiggins has been sketchy in that role in the past. And so I can see eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually a role developing where he is in the mode of a shooting guard who has the ball in his hands a lot, initiates the offense, runs some pick and rolls, gets other people involved. I mean, he is multi-skilled and multifaceted. One of the frustrations with Andrew Wiggins over the years has been all he does is score. He doesn't do, you know, he doesn't pass very well. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Culver seems maybe, while he's not maybe as dynamic as Wiggins as from a scoring standpoint, certainly does all of the other things a lot at a lot higher level than Wiggins has shown to this point. And so I think he can be a featured member of this Wolves rotation. I mean, you know, Okogie is a great defender, but has limited offensive abilities right now. Culver is more well-rounded than either Okogie or Wiggins is. And so over the next 2 years, I think you're going to see him try to assert himself in a big-time way in this offense, and they're going to need him to do that. I mean, they have Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier, but I think they're going to need other help initiating offense, running the show a little bit. And if Culver can prove that he's capable of doing that, like he was at Texas Tech, they might have a real find on their hands.
John Krasinski covers the Wolves and the NBA for The Athletic, joining us now here on Score North Live. John, how different is the culture around this team and this organization from, one, where it was a year ago, and then, two, how does Jarrett Culver find his place in that?
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely different. You don't even have to be, like, even just when you're in Mayo Clinic Square walking around, even when you're not around the players or even many coaches or things, you just feel a lightness in the air that is palpable. You saw the way that they played in Summer League and a lot of the kind of teamwork and connectivity that you saw. I think they want to bring that to the big squad as well. You also see that Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins are showing up in the summer and working out with the players and really bought into what's being sold here. And that was not the case at this time last summer. I mean, you couldn't find any Timberwolves player within a country mile of Mayo Clinic Square or of the team in general. They just, everyone was ticked off or alienated or whatever. And so, from that aspect, it's been a huge change, and I'm surprised at how quickly that sunk in. Now, that doesn't win you games right away. That doesn't mean that they're going to be in the playoffs next year, but I think it is encouraging that from a sustainability aspect, that maybe what they're building here, if they can keep everyone together and communicating together, that the chances of any success that they do have lasting more than half of a season is better. Now, how does Jarrett Culver fit into that? He's quiet. He is kind of he's a super hard worker, very diligent. He is not one of those guys who's going to stand up in the middle of the locker room and rally the troops. He's going to lead more by example. He's going to set a tone with his work ethic that way, and I think that's okay, especially for a young kid coming in. You don't want to try and assert yourself too early and get, you know, some of the veterans, you know, a little upset with you. So I think he's going to have a really good approach. He's not going to force things. And maybe in 2, 3, 4 years, if his play starts to ascend to where the Wolves think that he can go, then maybe he can assume a little bit more of a vocal leadership role. But for right now, he's going to be the rookie that's sort of seen and not heard. And I think that's just fine for his personality and what he wants to bring to the table.
And then, John, last one before we let you go here. How much do you think this organization's going to miss Tyus Jones as he moves on with his career to the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yeah, look, Tyus was great here, especially in the community, in the locker room for 4 years. Was kind of one who quietly held that team together through tough times. He was a guy that, you know, that Towns and Wiggins liked, that Jimmy Butler and Jamal Crawford and Derrick Rose liked. I mean, everyone not only just liked him as a person, but really respected him. And so he just has a way of connecting with people and of getting them to kind of listen to what he thinks is important and set that tone. So I think they're going to miss that quite a bit. On the court, we'll see. He had a chance last year to really assert himself more as a starter over the long term, and he played up and down in that role. Part of that, I think, is his mother's cancer diagnosis and a few of the other things that were working against him. But he believes that he can be a starter in this league. Clearly, the Timberwolves believe that he can't be, that he's more of a career backup. And so their evaluation is going to be tested over the next couple of years. If they let a potential starter go for $8.5 million, and he really asserts himself in Memphis and flashes with a bigger opportunity, and the Wolves themselves do not have a point guard for the long term, it's going to look bad. If kind of he continues as more of this backup and now he's kind of shifting into a little mentor mode with Ja Morant in Memphis there, then they're going to be validated. And so we'll have to see exactly on the court how much they'll miss him. I know that he made people better. I know that other players really loved playing with him. Now it's just going to be a matter of what is his ceiling, and only time will be able to show us exactly what that is.
John, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to hop on here.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me. We'll see you.
John Krasinski of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at John Krasinski. There is no H in John. Don't make that mistakes like the Phoenix Suns did when they quoted him on a tweet about Dario Saric. They spelled his name wrong.
You got to be kidding me.
They spelled his last name right. They spelled his first name wrong. The three letters, they couldn't get that one right, but they got the last name right.
Only the Phoenix Suns.
Only the Phoenix Suns. That is that is a summation of what the Phoenix Suns have turned into these days. They went from one of the winningest franchises of the mid-2000s to like 2010, and now they can't spell John's name right.